Let's have Ramona take over here, and she's going to talk to us about gardening.
Hi, this is Ramona. I live in Idaho, and I am retired. I've been retired for about 10 years. I'd like to say I am opposite of Greg. In a lot of ways, I do very little use of the computer. I didn't learn to use it till after I retired, and that was a late start. I do email, but I'd be totally lost on eBay, and I just would not feel competent to go searching on websites. I do use Braille. Labeling and notes are essential. A lot of people who lose their vision as seniors are not motivated to learn Braille. You can, and I think that one of the things the senior division needs to do is to help people find teachers if they want to try, but you do not, I guess I should make sure, can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I think so.
Robert, okay. If you're motivated to learn Braille, I would urge you to try. I've taught a lot of Braille, and I love teaching Braille. I even wrote a book on teaching Braille. But when I knit, I do some hand knitting. I use a knitting machine, and I deliberately got one that's mechanical and not computerized because computers are not recreational for me. They're hard work, and I don't have enough help to learn all I would like to learn, and it's not intuitive. So, anyway, what Robert first asked me to talk about is gardening. I've never done gardening until this last summer. And I had a fairly large space in my backyard where there used to be a swimming pool that just wore out. So it was an above ground pool. And so I didn't have to fill the hole, but I did need to put something in that space. And this spring, as you probably would guess, nobody wanted to come out to my house and give me any suggestions about how to landscape that area. So I had to figure it out for myself. And I first hauled in a couple of cubic yards of river rock. I had to choose the right river rock and haul it in. And then my son was able to go on a Craigslist for me and find some planters that I thought would work. I was not, I didn't feel able to get down on my hands and knees on the dirt. And after I put river rock, I certainly wasn't going to do that. But really, I wanted something that I didn't have to get down on the ground. So I found a planter, and I think there are quite a few of them out there. You can find Craigslist is good because I think it's a little more local. But it's got a wooden frame and kind of a corrugated metal wall that goes around all four sides. The ones I chose are 6 feet long and 3 feet wide. I think I'll get a couple of more next year, and they'll be a different size. Maybe one will be lower and one larger because I still have more space to fill. I'm going to see how this goes. Well, then I've never done gardening. I've been around some people who have, but they weren't really available for too much instruction. So I went to the plant store, Home Depot will do, and there are a couple of others, and I just bought packages of seeds. Now you can get plants, and that's probably better for a lot of things, but I was doing this one step at a time, and so I bought seeds and I planted everything from seed. Next year I hope to use some plants. Cantaloupe was probably my failure. I did get one that was edible, but I didn't get them in early enough. And I put them in the same planter with zucchini. That was a mistake. The zucchini took over, and I had constantly to fight to make sure the cantaloupe got enough sun. So they were slow to mature and ripen. But once I chose the seeds and I guessed on how much I could fit in the various planters, so I put in 2 tomato plants and 3 zucchini plants and 3 cantaloupe plants, and I put in a row of carrots and a row of onions and a row of beets. I tried strawberries. I guess strawberries were my first failure, and I did get them planted, but the birds liked them, and I think the squirrels liked them, and so I didn't figure out a good way to protect the strawberries from all the people creatures I didn't want to share with. I would love to raise berries, and I will see if I can learn how to protect the berries from the other inhabitants of my backyard. I don't want to use poison. In any case, I'll tell you about my mistakes because I learned from my mistakes. I put in a row of carrots and a row of onions and a row of beets in a space probably 15 inches, and that was too close together. So I did get carrots and beets, and they were very good, but they were really too crowded, and that my onions pretty much got overtaken by the carrots and beets, and even the carrots and beets were too crowded. And they say when they come up, thin them, and I did thin them, but I just needed to spread them out more. So next year, I will spread my onions and beets, and I'll try green onions again. They were green onions. I'll try that again, but I'll spread them over a much greater space. And then I put in tomato plants, and I put in, you can get wire racks, they call them tomato cages, and I got a couple, but I made one. I just got a roll of wire and rolled it up and fastened the ends together. I had to cut it to make one because there were no tomato cages or not enough in stock. So I really now have a bunch of them. My son actually had some that I didn't know about, so I could have a lot more, but two tomato plants is enough. I got cherry tomatoes. What I learned about cherry tomatoes is that if they are very productive, it's very hard to tell which ones are ripe. You can tell. You can just pinch it a tiny bit, and it when it's soft, it's ripening, and you get the feel for how ripe it is. The interesting part is there's so much green that you'll never find them all. So I found a couple of people that could come in about twice a week and help me pick cherry tomatoes because they could see those red little red balls in there, and they go green, orange, and then red, and they could see those much more quickly than I could find them. I probably should have thinned the tomato plants more than I did. They, once the carrots and beets were done, they took over the whole planter too. They just grew up beyond the cages and out to the ends, and I let them do it because there was nothing in the way. So I could get a taller cage. I could plant the tomatoes lower. These planters were 28 inches high, and I could get a lower one because the tomatoes grow high enough if you give them those racks that you can, that you could capture more of the shrubbery. And they say you should cut off the branches if they don't have any tomatoes on them. Well, all my branches had tomatoes, so it's a matter of how much do you trim. And that's something that if you grew them more than 1 year, if you keep doing it, you'll learn. And I could put in larger tomatoes. They don't have to be the little cherry tomatoes, but that's what I like best. That's what I eat best. The zucchini was an experience. I've been around people who grew zucchini. I knew they grew fast. I knew they grew large. I knew the heat was good for them. But it's an experience to do it yourself. So I probably, with my three zucchini plants, I probably had 80 or 90 zucchinis. And mostly I was able to find them when they were a pretty good size and pick them. But occasionally I would miss one and it would get to be 2 feet long. So I had about four that got to be just huge, 20 inches and more. And of course they're 5 or 6 inches in diameter. They're still good to eat. You can scrape out the seeds from the middle if you want to. So I've grated a lot of zucchini and froze it. I gave a ton away. I didn't think of making pickles from zucchini, but I'm sure I could do that. So maybe next year I'll make some zucchini pickles. I like zucchini better than cucumbers, although cucumbers make good pickles. I've had a little bit of experience probably 50 years ago or more canning, so I could do that. But it, as Greg said, it's a lot of fun to have a hobby. I'm not a specialist, not like Greg. I'm an experimenter. I like to take on new things and play with them. Now, how's the time doing, Robert?
Oh, you can have a good, strong 18 minutes.
Okay, so if I want to talk about knitting, I learned to knit by hand as a kid, and since I like to design new projects, and there's much too much sitting on your backside in the world today, so I wanted something where I get up off of my backside. And so I found this knitting. I found a person through the NFB Crafters Division who knew where to get a knitting machine, and I was able to find one that was mechanical only and did not have electronics. So I got one, and this year I've been making gift bags, and I've made over 100 of them because the fun part for me is designing them and using them. So I had my granddaughter design a tag that says, "Made by Ramona, wash, dry, and reuse." So I will give people for Christmas bundles of gift bags that they can wash, dry, and reuse. And everyone is different. I mean, I know that I don't have to make them different for every person, because if I'm giving a bundle to one person and then bundle to somebody that doesn't even know that person, I could use the same ones. But my goal is not to have any duplicates, so because I like to make them different. So I've had to learn about Christmas yarns and sparkle yarns and metallic yarns and how to make them look Christmassy with Christmas colors and other colors. And so that's been a fun project for me this fall. And I do start and finish them with regular knitting skills, but the machine makes it more fun because I can chunk them out better. I can make a two a day, even if I'm doing half a dozen other things that day. So anyway, if there are questions about either of those things.
So Ramona, help us with this. How do you work with this machine? What do you have to do? Don't forget the little idea you had about are people able to take notes, and if they can't do Braille, whatever, there's some really inexpensive little recording devices, you know. So
I told Robert, I said, I hope you guys are covering in this agenda the digital note takers, because there are a bunch of them. I don't know if they're designed for note taking primarily, but you can make little memos on note takers. And a lot of programs for the blind that have gadgets will have a note taker. You can get quite a number of them at Best Buy, but some of them are more friendly than others. And if you get them through a program for the blind, hopefully somebody took the trouble to figure it out. But if you want to make a note of, you can start with phone numbers and recipes, but the reason I mentioned it to Robert is because it's good to keep track of the directions on your seed packets. I started to keep track of the seed packets so I could look at them again when I forgot what I needed to know. You know, how long did it take them to grow? I selected the fast-growing packet since I was running a little later in the season than I thought I should. But you want to keep track of what it says, both because you might want to do the same or you might want to do different next year, and also so that your expectations, if they were wrong or right, you know it. Because I don't know about you, but my experience is that most seniors don't remember all the details anymore. And if you ever did, that people are accustomed to having notes. So, as I say, I would love to have you learn Braille, and you can, but you can still keep track of information without Braille.
We have two people with their hands raised, if you would like to take questions.
Well, let's sure. do. Go ahead.
We have Judy. I just asked you to unmute, ma'am. You're unmuted.
Hi. My question is, or comment is for Greg. Greg, are you still on?
I am here.
Okay. Ramona might know the answer to this, too, but you mentioned Helen Keller, and I would guess that most of us know about Helen Keller. You also mentioned Laura Bridgman and Samuel Gridley Howe, and I bet most of us don't know who they are.
True.
Yes, that's true. So Laura Bridgman was the first deafblind person educated in this country. Samuel Gridley Howe was her teacher. Julia Ward Howe, who authored The Battle Hymn of the Republic, was the wife of Samuel Gridley Howe. Samuel Gridley Howe taught at the Perkins School for the Blind. I have documents in my collection signed by all four individuals. I don't have anything signed by Ann Sullivan. I need to do that. But definitely part of our history and fascinating collection.
Our next question is from Ruth Williams.
Hi, this is Ms. Ruth from New Jersey. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I have two questions for Ramona. This is the round loom that you use is mechanical. How can you cast off? Do you need to use regular knitting techniques to finish it?
Now, my knitting machine is not round. Are you using the round loom by hand?
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, okay.
Well, and you certainly can make bags on the round loom, and then you don't even have to sew up the side. You would just have to sew up the end.
Right.
But you can cast off. I don't know how to use the round loom. I know it exists. But you can cast off with that. But also, I do it by hand. Now, the other thing is on my bags, one of the reasons I do it by hand, and I do this at the beginning instead of the end, but you could do it the other way, is I want to leave an end so it won't roll and so that you can run a drawstring through it. So I use a knit two single stitches and then knit two together and then yarn over,
okay,
if you're familiar with knitting, to make little holes to run the drawstring through.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, that would be lovely. And can I ask you one more question? It's about gardening.
Sure.
Do the tomato cages actually work? Does it protect it from creatures getting the crops?
Oh, no, it's not it.
Well, the tomato cages are not for that purpose, and they may actually help some, because if an animal got into the middle of all that foliage, they could get tangled up badly.
Yeah, right.
But The purpose for the tomato cages is to lift the fruit up off the ground, and they grow better that way, and the fruit is less likely to spoil that way.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
And you can get tomato cages that are 8 feet high. Mine are not. And I wouldn't be able to reach the top if they were, because my planters are 28 inches off the ground. But I will probably put in a lower planter and get larger cages next
year. Thank you.
This is Mike Wolof. I have a question for Greg. What do you do to ensure you're not getting pirated items?
That's a good question. So on eBay, I think it's important to look at the ratings of the seller. That helps. I haven't had any problems, though. I think for the items I collect, there just is not that much interest in pirating. People collect Coke memorabilia. You know, that kind of stuff is really risky in terms of, is this an original? Is this a duplicate? I think you really have to educate yourself on all of the little nuances that are out there. One of my favorite Coke collectibles is a Coke bottle from Albuquerque from World War II. And it's, you know, it's solid. You could run a tank over it, but it's all part of the history. But educating yourself and becoming an expert is the best way to keep from getting pirated. Some things like antique firearms, there's really no profit to be made. Some kinds of guns like Colts are really, really expensive, but brake tops, Smith & Wessons, which are quality, those are much less expensive. There's really no profit in copying those. The cheaper guns of the 1880s, 1890s, the Ivor Johnson, the Hopkins and Allen, those are not safe to shoot. They just were not of the quality, but they're inexpensive for people who are interested, and nobody really pirates those just because there's no profit. But you could end up buying the wrong thing if you're not careful. And sometimes sellers don't know what they have also. So great question, and I don't have a super answer other than just caveat emptor.
Okay, we have no other hands. So, Robert, how do you want to direct?
Well, do either of you have any more advice for our students here? Because you guys have been in the rehab business. You're blind, and you've seen a lot of folks. Anything else we could be telling these people?
Well, I have a story to tell you. I'd say use your ingenuity. Don't be timid about taking on new things, and don't be shy about talking to other people, because you learn by talking to other people, especially if you're not. If you're on the internet, you can learn all kinds of things and research it, but I'm just not. And a lot of seniors, a lot of them are, but a lot are not. So talk to other people, get into chat rooms on the phone. I'm not on the screen. Some of you have, I'm sure, noticed that I'm using a good old fashioned landline phone. Because I have to put what works best for me, but I still meet people. I belong to a walking group, a hiking group. And I belong to a couple of choirs, so I get to know other people, and I learn from them, but never enough. I've always got things to figure out, and so some of the research I do in stores, I don't want to have to do research online. I would be a flop, but I take people with me, and I try to find somebody when I find a shopper that's patient enough to read the labels, because reading the instructions on the seed bags, it was essential to me, but just be creative. I want to tell you about a guy that I worked with once. I got a call from a housekeeper, and she said, I'm working with a blind man who's 103, and I'm worried about him. And tell me more. She said, well, he wants to be busy, and he doesn't have anything to do. And so I quizzed her a little bit about the background of the guy, and he used a walker, but he wanted to be outdoors. He'd been a farmer, and he wanted to be outdoors. And he wanted to, she said he brought a whole bunch of plastic barrels and planters up to his patio, and he wanted to be outdoors planting things and raising them, and she thought that wasn't safe. And I said, you need to back off. He has found the entertainment he wants. Don't get in his way. Help him succeed. Don't expect him to change at 103, for heaven's sake. So I don't think she liked my advice, but that's the advice she got.
Robert, this is Greg. I want to really emphasize what my friend Ramona says here, because I really enjoyed her presentation about the landscaping, and it reminded me of something that my wife and I did, my wife Tanya, who's also blind. When we bought the house we live in, the backyard had not been landscaped. It was just in the dirt. And a ton of vegetation had grown up in the backyard. It was a bit of a jungle. And we had an estimate to landscape it, and it was $12,000. And yeah, I said to Tanya, well, you know, we could get the material ourselves, and it would be maybe about $3,000, and we would just have to do a lot of work. And then she says to me, well, have you ever done landscaping before? And I greatly, greatly exaggerated my prior landscaping past. I'd helped my dad do some landscaping when I was a teenager with the house that he had. I said, sure, I've done lots of landscaping. So with that, she felt the confidence, and we went and we got a chainsaw so I could cut down a tree that had gotten overgrown. We removed all of the vegetation. We got the river rock that Ramona was talking about. We got different tiles, ceramic stepping stones. There was some flagstone that we discovered, so we took all of that up and created a very nice pattern. We put in a waterfall, and I wired that and put in lava rock. But the key was that we had the confidence, and we believed in ourselves. So don't be afraid. Take on the project and go out there, and just as Ramona did with her garden, start digging. I think it's really fun, and don't be deterred. Just go do it.
Well, I should say, you'll make some mistakes. Most of the mistakes are not huge. I suppose it would be possible to do something dangerous, but for the most part, it's not. You have to try things. One time, and this was when I didn't have a garden, but I got gophers in my backyard, and I didn't want to poison the gophers, and somebody said, put red pepper down the hole. That's probably going to drive them away. And so I tried it. It worked. I never in the world would have thought of such a thing, but it worked.